Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Do you share photographs of your children online on your social media account and then put an emoji over their faces so to, you know, hide their identity and protect their privacy? If you do, you might want to stay tuned for the next few minutes because I was reading a really interesting piece by cybersecurity specialist Lisa Ventura in the Irish Independent, and she makes the point that putting an emoji over a child's face provides virtually no real privacy protection whatsoever. And our own tech correspondent Jess Kelly is with me in studio today to explain why, Jess.
This is something that parents do with the best intentions to try and cover their child's identity. But what parents may not realise, and what many people only copped in the last number of months on the back of a brilliant ad by the Irish Data Protection Authority, is that your child's identity is more than just their face. So for example, if you have an 8-year-old child and you post pictures of them and their activities, but not their face, somebody watching might know where they play football, what their favourite teddy bear is, what book they loved when they were smaller. If they followed you for a long time and you've since changed your name, if you got married, if you're the mother, they'll know your maiden name. They'll know the kid's date of birth because maybe you posted about when you were pregnant, when the baby was due. And so it's not, the emoji covers the face. That's one aspect of the wider picture. But it's the child's identity, their life, their privacy. I would highly encourage everybody to go and watch that the video by the Irish Data Protection Commission.
We talked about it here before Christmas, yeah.
It's remarkable because it shows the level of information that we share. You know, over Christmas, people, and it's, I'm not taking a swipe at parents here at all, because I get the urge and need and the want to share. I share stuff on my close friends circle with people that I know. There's only about 15 people and they're people that I would talk to on a regular basis. But over Christmas, people were sharing, you know, the matching pajamas. You get to see the kids, you get to see what they're watching, you get to see what Santa brought them. All of this information is, it builds up.
Why does that matter though to AI? Why is there a concern about
this? It's not necessarily just about AI. So AI is a concern because it's learning, it's picking up information and all the rest. I wouldn't be concerned about AI as much as I would two particular points. So the first one is around child safety. You don't want to, you know, again, if you're posting the picture of the kid with the hair out in the green, it's very easy to figure out where somebody lives based on a picture of the green, if there's houses in the background or whatever it is. So from a child safety point of view, and then also just from the child's, I suppose, lack of ability to consent to be part of this. So I spoke to Sean Moncrief about this a number of months ago. And one of the stats was that, you know, by the time a child is 5 years old, there are thousands, in most instances, there are thousands of images of that child on the parent's social media. And the child obviously can't consent. The parent consents on behalf of the child. But by the time that child has grown up, they then have this massive digital footprint that they have to erase. Like, I do it every day. When I get, you know, I barely ever use Facebook, but I go in and look at my Facebook memories. And like, there's stuff from 16 years ago where I talk about myself in the third person and how hungover I was and all this
nonsense.
It's
totally cringe. Yeah, it's horrendous.
It's horrific.
Coming back to remind you.
But I go through and I clean up my digital footprint and what I want of me on the internet. But the kids who are 7, 8, 9, 10, they're going to have this massive archive from, you know, when they wet the bed to their first steps to their first day at school. Every moment of their lives is being documented.
And I know a lot of parents, like, obviously with the best of intentions, you now are more concerned probably about, you know, social media and sharing images of their children online, and have now probably started to kind of, you know, maybe for 4 or 5 years didn't put a picture over their child's face, but now maybe they've started. And I'm sure a lot of them would be concerned even hearing this today. Just mightn't have known it.
No, and again, it's not to scare the living daylights out of anyone. It's just to make you stop and think. If you are someone who now posts the pictures of the kids with, you know, maybe it's the back of their heads or with the emojis over it, think before you post, right? Look at what's in the background of the image. Think about what somebody who maybe is an active viewer of your Instagram stories or your posts could garner in terms of your locations, favourite toys, all of that kind of stuff.
Stay with us, Jess, for a few moments. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Rebecca Horn, broadcaster and parenting podcaster, is with me here on the line today. Rebecca, you've two children. How do you navigate, you know, your kids and social media?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
Look, it's a minefield. And I think, Jess, I think the balance is what's important there. Jess hit the nail on the head when she said all of the information she gave was perfect. But she also said this is also about your child and their choices and what choices they'd like to make and how they really don't have any control because you are taking that control by kind of pushing your child all over social media. I am not someone with mass following. I'm not a huge influencer. I host a parenting podcast, two of them. I amn't an expert. I'm not someone that's in, you know, people are kind of, there's a gaze on me. But of course, I have shared, particularly with my first child. And I think it's more that feeling of bizarre pride. I don't know if it's like when your mum takes out the album to your boyfriend and shows all your nudie pics from when you were a kid and you're like, Mom, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's this bizarre, look at my kid, I had a baby and like, here it is. And I remember doing that with my first and my husband feeling very strongly about social media at the time and saying, no, I don't want her on, I don't want her face, I don't want her on the grid, maybe things that disappear. And so we kind of had loads of different takes on it, right? So we do the stories only because it disappeared. Then it was definitely the emoji used to cover. I would be very firmly for no location that's live. So like, again, I said, I don't have a ton of following, but I do have followers.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who's slightly in the public eye. I'm in media. So I'm very careful if I'm on holiday, I'm not, you know, putting up a live location of my child in a swimsuit in a pool somewhere. It's usually in the background, in the distance. Same with where they do activities or where they play. And I think Jess's point is crucial on that. Like, are you putting up your child's national school, her teacher's name, her second name? Are you putting up a certificate that shows her date of birth? Things that are very intrinsic linked to the data of your child, which is kind of irresponsible if you are throwing that out there. But and sorry, I'm not judging because I put my children up on fun occasions and all of that, but I've completely stopped laterally. And I think it was probably to do with getting a few more followers and maybe people who were commenting or connecting with me or saying, oh, isn't your daughter so cute? And I actually found it really kind of, I got the ick. I didn't really like that.
Yeah.
Or, God, she's doing great with that, isn't she? And I thought, God, is there's a sense of narcissism about boasting about your child online, but also there's the people that are kind of voyeuristically watching as your child grows. And I found that really disturbing. So I have stopped putting, particularly my older child, who I don't want to hate me for putting stuff up that she didn't want up.
Yeah. So you've changed kind of your...
Yes, I have changed my approach. Yeah. She's not on my grid at all, and her face will never be, and that's that. And no matter how proud I am, she's not going on it. My little one, I will put videos the back of their head, or I was singing with her last night and I was kind of slagging myself off that we're still doing Christmas songs, or, you know, back to school, back of the head picture or something cute like that. And I do have to stop myself, Andrea. There's some bizarre addictive nature about sharing, which we all know, that people that are on social media know.
Yeah.
I'm not on Facebook or Twitter anymore, any of those things. So I really have just one platform where I share a lot of my podcast work, and that's really important for my career. And part of me feels the authenticity about being someone who's, you know, in media and, you know, in journalism and in podcasting is that I do have a family, and I don't want to also be like, I don't have a family. I'm going to pretend I'm one thing. I do talk about parenting and the ups and downs. I talked about a massive fertility struggle. And I think it's inauthentic as well not to be like, well, I do have two small kids, but I don't want them foisted out there. I would agree that there is, you know, there's this big footprint that they will not want. You don't want your children to resent you. You don't want there to be these kind of issues. Also, when we're preaching at them to not be on their phones or not be obsessive about tech, you know, we want them to be free and happy. We have to practice what we preach. So there's a fine line. Now, I will say this regarding the emoji thing, which I often throw up, particularly on friends of mine who are like, I don't want my child on your story today because you have a few more followers than me. I really don't want to interrupt there, Becca. I'll say fine. I can't get into the weeds on that, Andrea. I think we can obsess too much too. I'm not entirely sure with the millions of images out there and the millions of different children and the fact that your child could be in a television ad or filmed in the background of something or picked up. I mean, we live in a world where we're constantly being surveyed.
Yeah, big time. I know. It is hard to.
CCTV in airports. We've got people doing social media videos at swimming pools and holidays. I mean, we can be careful, but we can't become obsessive. And there are my views. Unless you're giving away your address, your location. Do you know what I mean? People know if they looked me up, oh, she has two kids. She lives in Wicklow. They know, you know?
So. I imagine probably quite a few people, Rebecca, feeling, you know, in the same sort of position as you with regards to this. Katie Mack is joining us as well. You host the Opinions Matter podcast, Katie, and you've two kids too. So how do you navigate sharing your children online or pictures of them?
Hi, Andrea. So for me, it's just an all out zero tolerance. No, it's just, I don't do it. End of story. Now, I did once when my eldest was small, or was it when they were starting school, I put up a photo with an emoji on it. But I felt like an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Like, you see these parents and all of the photographs of their kids have emojis on them, and they're posting left, right and centre of pictures of their kids on them. And I'm like, why bother? Do you know what I mean? It just looks ridiculous. It's like, post or don't post.
You think post the picture rather than post it with the emoji. But I suppose it depends, maybe, if your account is, you know, if your account is open or a private account, perhaps, maybe. Is that the difference?
I don't know. Maybe for people in the public eye, it's slightly different. It is very different for people in the public eye. But for your average Joe Soap, I don't guess. Just, you know, it's like for Rebecca. Rebecca has a parenting podcast. She obviously speaks very openly about her parent. I actually know Rebecca. So she's been very open about her own journey. And so, you know, and as she said, the authenticity of it all. But I think for, you know, normal parents day to day, either post or don't post. And I think for some parents, I actually think it's kind of dumb to be like, oh, look at me, I don't post my kids online. Here's my child with an emoji over their head. I'm so, you know, protective as a parent. And it's like, well, you know, the things Jess said there about, you know, they've been out on the green and their what football team they play for. Like, that's all. It's just, she just spoke so well about it. Like, she was literally taking all of the points I was going to make.
I'd say most people don't realise, you know, even that.
Yeah, but the other point that I would make, and this is something that I think parents, you know, you sign a form at the beginning of the school year, but a lot of schools now have Instagram accounts and social pages, and they share, you as a parent can opt in or opt out if you want your kids.
Because the listener wondering about that with regards to the class photograph.
Opt out on everything.
There you go.
Like, no.
Good woman. So that's your decision, right? But the reason I bring it up is because, so from a GDPR point of view, parents have to consent on behalf of the kid, and that's fine. So they can be, you know, playing on a table. You and I could be playing on a table. But if my mum and dad said no, they'd blur out my face, which I think is fine. But then when I recently did Behind the Screens and we were down in Cork, a parent said to me that they said no because they didn't want their kids on social. But then the kids saw it and was really upset that they weren't included. Now, I can understand that from the child's point of view, but also I do firmly believe that all school accounts should be on private. And I think it should be, you know, vetted if it's a parent that's following the account and all the rest. I also think the point that Rebecca made as well, is really interesting, and that is people starting and sharing opinions and also developing kind of parasocial relationships with your kids. You know, oh, has she stopped using the Dodie now when she's going to sleep? Isn't that great? You know, oh God, you've gotten so tall since I've seen you last. That sort of stuff, again, it's not normal. And I completely understand the pride. I have 9,000 nieces and nephews and I'm so proud of all of them, and I would post them all every second of every day if I could. But you have to ask yourself, to what end? And so that's why when I'm with them, I'll do stuff on my close friends. Again, there's 15 people on that and nothing more. I think if you are, you know, not somebody like Rebecca who's got the podcast and all the rest, if you are someone who just wants to share, I would go through, firstly, make your profile private. I would verify that you know anyone who follows you. And then also, don't be afraid to use the close circle where you can handpick, you know, the aunties, the uncles, the friends who you're very close to.
Siblings or, who, you know, close mates that are looking at these pictures.
Yeah, I just think sometimes people do it for the interaction, which as someone who uses social media all the time, I'm not going to give out about because that's...
I'm sure we all do it,
We all do it. It's the dopamine hit. But it's just, there are security concerns, there are privacy concerns, and there are well-being concerns as well.
Lisa O'Sullivan Shaw is joining us here as well, Rebecca and Katie. What do you do, Lisa? Do you use the emojis over the faces? Or
hi, Andrea. So no, I don't use the emojis. As you'll know, I have an Instagram page called Modern Irish Mom. So like, my page is centered around kind of mom things, but I do have a thing that I don't use my kids as content. And there's a big difference between using your kids as content and, you know, posting absolutely everything they do like that about the wet in the bed and the doties and whatever. Now, thankfully, my boys are a little bit older.
Start of all of this, really.
I have to ask for consent. Like, even since I started my page, 4 years ago, and every picture, like, and the picture I would put up, maybe something like the communion or the confirmation, you know, it's not like, you know, look what he did tonight and whatever. And that's just my choice. That's just our choice. It's like what the boys are uncomfortable with. Now, my two older boys, they're teenagers now. Not hope in hell will you get a picture out of them. And I, you know, for our sake, just sort of, come on, we'll take a picture for Christmas. No, you know, I'm like, I have to say, it's not going up. And they're like, you're right, it's not. Because they actually use the words to me. They say, I don't consent to that. Or I would show them a picture and they'd be like, yeah, that's okay, or whatever. And I would never also, like, another one of the points is I would never, I'd be very wary of, like, the surroundings, and I would never post in actual real time. So if we go on holidays, I never post until we come home.
Okay, you'd hold off until after. Yeah, it's a good point, that, actually, yeah. Even around the, you know, the security about being away. And yeah. I'd say a lot of people, I can tell from the text here, actually hadn't even maybe thought of that, you know, about being outside of the house or out of the country.
Yeah, or even for the day out. You just always post when you come back, just, you know, you just don't want people to know
you're telling the country the house is empty. Marat is with us as well, who's the owner of Discovery Playtime. How do you feel about this?
Hello, Andrea. I absolutely love talking about this topic because I think it creates a lot of awareness, and I think that's the best thing we can have. The more information we have, the more informed decisions we can make for our children. I took it myself and Discovery Playtime with the business. Obviously, we do a lot of play sessions, workshops, activities for children. So it's very, we do face painting. So how do you advertise face painting without showing kids' faces? I do, I used to gather permission from, somewhere to summer camps, a lot of things. I used to gather permission from parents to share pictures for social media. A couple of years ago, I stopped doing that. I won't post even if I had permission, because if I wouldn't do that with my children, why would I do it with other children? It can be something that it can be used for bullying when they're older. And I think children trust us. If we don't protect our children, who will? And that's one of our jobs. And because we've always done it this way, doesn't mean it's safe to do so. I think we started creating trends 5 years ago with, you know, TikTok dances and all these things with the kids, and it was so cute. And sometimes it's just genuine, you know, as it was mentioned before a few minutes ago, we take a picture of our children, and it's so cute. We feel so good looking at that picture, and we want to share that feeling with other people. But we can't forget they're strangers. And right now with AI, it's not just the people, as you said, you know, the ad, that really good ad about the people knowing too much about our children. But it's not just that. It's not just the facial recognition. I think that article with the emoji made me think. It's not just the facial recognition. It's also the pattern of their life that's created there. Even if you don't post a picture of your child, you post a picture of their birthday cake. Now every AI will forever know that that's the day of your child's birthday.
And that they have an interest in whatever their,
it creates a pattern of
Barbie or whatever.
The clothes they buy, exactly, yeah.
Jennifer Davey is a former teacher and women's empowerment coach. Are you surprised to hear that, you know, emojis over the, over your children's pictures can be, you know, often more damaging, Jennifer?
Hey, how are you, girls?
Good.
There's so many good points after being raised. I actually was surprised. In a sense, like when I first started seeing people putting emojis over their kids' faces, I kind of thought, my initial thought was, well, that's actually drawing more attention to them than if there was no emojis at all. That was my first kind of gut response to that, right? But it was very surprising when I read through the article that the level of detail that can be garnered from those images in spite of the, you know, the emojis over the faces. So it was a little bit scary, right? But I think, you know, I don't post photographs of my boys very often because I really don't have to. And the reason I say that is, in like, my work is helping women. So the only time I would, you know, want to post might be just literally just like a funny moment.
like I posted recently about how we all went to Amsterdam on a holiday and like everyone got sick and it was an absolute nightmare. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So there was a photograph of me and the boys, right? So like, you know, in terms of that, I don't need them. One of the ladies, I think it was Modern Irish Mum,
Lisa,
a moment ago, Lisa made a great point around content. I loved what she said about how, you know, I don't, my kids are not part of my content. And I think that is kind of where I'd be coming at it. Like, I don't need to post photographs of my boys.
Yeah, I suppose it's different if you're a social media, perhaps influencer as well. Can I ask you, Jess, this texter here has got in touch to say, we use a great app called, is it Back Then?
Yeah. It's a free app to download onto your phone. And it seems from the bit that I've just read about it, it's very secure. You invite people to basically be able to view shared images. You can also do this through Google Photos. You can create an album. So I could do it now of all of the pictures of us over the years. And
I'd say the behaviourship for that, all right.
But you can invite people. You can also revoke access as well. But the Back Then one does seem to be popular as well. One final point, if I can just make a quick point. So it's different. Like, a lot of this conversation has been around kids and content and for people who are in media. I think we still need to have the level of awareness, even if you don't work in media, right? If you are an adult and you are online and you are posting images of children, you need to ask yourself, firstly, why? If it's to share with granny and granddad and whatever, do it on a locked account. Make sure the account is fully locked down. Don't let any other followers in and all the rest. I also think that you need to be mindful of the fact that this is going to be a digital archive for the kids for when they grow up, for better or worse. So be mindful of that. And just be very careful about posting other people's kids as well. So say it's your 7th birthday and you and your 12 friends are going off. And I am okay with you being online, but the rest of the parents aren't. You have to be very mindful of that. It's the same thing if you're coaching a GAA club, a ballet class, whatever it is. You need to be so careful, not only with posting them online, but also posting them in WhatsApp groups as well. So you need to be super careful. And as I said, this is not to rain on anyone's parade, make anyone feel bad, throw around any judgment. It's just to make you sit up. And the big bit of advice I would give you and anybody is to just stop and think before you post.
That's our tech correspondent here at News Talk, Jess Kelly, Rebecca Horn, Katie Mack, Mara as well, Lisa O'Sullivan Shaw, and also Jenny Davey. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us. Email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.